Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, best-selling author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And this is Sell or Die. Real world sales talk, no bullshit, no tricks, just how to make sales whether you're in Las Vegas or London.
Louisville. We are interviewing the best minds on selling and personal development, and we're doing it live. And people go, what are you doing live for? And I said, because that's where you make sales. You make sales live in the moment. There's no pre-taping your sales presentation, although some of you should.
We're taking your sales questions. Send them to us on Twitter at Gittimer or at Jen in any minute. Maybe you
wait. Say that again. Jen.
It's just easier to tell people at Jen in any minute, okay, even though it's Jen in a New York minute.
Right.
Okay,
go ahead.
Anyway, maybe you want to email your question, or maybe you want to advertise on the show. You can email those questions and inquiries to sellordie@gittimer.com.
Reading every single one of your questions, the man behind the glass, the great, the one and only, Doug Branson, producer extraordinaire.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. A reminder to our listeners, you can listen to us live on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search Sell or Die, and while you're there, leave us a 5-star review. Jeffrey, Jennifer, what's going on in your sales world?
Our sales world has blossomed into New York City this week, Doug. And what's happening in New York City is everyone's on fire. You know, there's the Halloween is in the air finally. There's pumpkins every place. You can get a pumpkin latte at Starbucks. You get a spiced pumpkin latte at Starbucks. And the only people that are wearing masks up to this point in time, though, are the burglars. And then the rest of the city will don those masks in another 30 days.
So are you preparing to wear a mask?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not going to wear a costume on Halloween. I'm going to go as a salesperson on Halloween.
So you're not dressing up?
No. I'm going to come as I am.
Got it. All right, cool. Well, yeah, New York's been great this week. I have a networking meeting that meets in person on Tuesdays, and it was fabulous this week. And so if any of you listeners, if you would like to visit on Tuesday morning and meet 40 to 60 other professional salespeople, business people, business owners who are helping make referral sales, just send me a note.
Well, there you darn go, Jen. I'm absolutely pleased at what's going on with our show right now. And we have a great one this week. Fantastic interview with Alex Hollywood, a woman from Constant Contact. She is going to share with us her best tips on email marketing and how to get your email opened and returned and get customers converted to buyers.
Plus, as always, we're taking your sales questions and giving you the answers you need to make more money.
So let's get into it. It's time to sell or die.
This is our big email marketing show. So we want to set the stage with a few numbers that outline why it's important for you to have your email marketing as sharp as it can be. Jeffrey?
Yes?
We're going to play a little game.
Okay.
I'm going to toss. Thanks for being so open to that.
Thank you very kindly.
Yeah.
All right. Amenable.
I'm going to toss a few numbers your way about email marketing.
Uh-huh.
These numbers come from eMarketer's report on 2016 email marketing benchmarks. I know you love data. So you tell me what you think they mean.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. The first number is $10.23.
That's the change I got today when I ordered a glass of orange juice and a bagel, and I gave the guy a $20 bill. Oh, you mean, what does that number mean? That would probably be something like the average cost of conversion of an email to a sale.
Wow. Okay. Pretty good.
Yeah.
The correct answer is that the cost per acquisition, it's the cost per acquisition for email campaigns compared to over $20 for social media and paid search. So email marketing is inexpensive.
Got it.
Okay. The next number is 122%.
That's easy. That's the number of salespeople who brag that they just made a sale, but they don't have a check and they don't have this contract.
And according to eMarketer, that's the median ROI for email marketing campaigns versus 28% for social and 18% for online display.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next number is 35.9%.
That's the number of salespeople that make their sales goal every month.
Well, according to eMarketer, 35.9% of people said they never find marketing emails to be useful.
Oh, come on.
It's all about your emails being relevant.
Right.
All right. Final number, 54%.
That's the number of people who would delete an email as soon as they see it.
54% is the percentage of opens, the percentage of marketing emails opened on a smartphone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're in the age of mobile, but only 20% of smartphone opens leads to conversions versus 51% of desktop opens. You know why? I think when you open it on your phone.
Sometimes I can't even read the thing.
Yeah. Or like you read it and you move on to whatever you're doing and
it gets lost.
Yeah. Whereas you're at your desktop, you're ready to buy. A lot of that has to do with emails not looking great on your phone, too, and we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
All right, that was fun, but we have lots more to learn. For more on email marketing, we talked to Alex Hollywood. Great name, isn't it?
Yeah, really good name.
She is a total rock star, not just by her name, but when it comes to email marketing, she is a total rock star. We met, you know, over the past 6 months or so. We've become friendly, and I'm just utterly impressed and amazed by her achievements at such a young age, how much she has accomplished, what a great human being she is, and I can't wait for you guys to take a listen. So Alex, tell us what you do at Constant Contact.
Yeah, sure. So Constant Contact is a email marketing service provider for small businesses and nonprofits so they can market their business through email marketing campaigns. And what I do at Constant Contact is actually the best job I've ever had, is I get to educate small businesses on how to best use email marketing. And we cover sales and general marketing anyway, because a lot of times small businesses forget that they need to concentrate on this kind of information. So I get to do this throughout New York and New Jersey and reach out to nonprofits, small businesses. I reach out to programs that educate entrepreneurs like Chambers of Commerce, SCORE, Small Business Development Centers, and basically just making sure people are using Constant Contact the best that they can so they generate revenue for their business.
With the world trending towards social selling and everything being online first, what are you telling your customers to do with email so that they take full advantage of the new world of sales?
Yeah, so there's two things. So everything is mobile now. So more than 50% of your customers are opening email on their cell phones, on their mobile. So everything has to be really clean, one column. As soon as they pick up the phone, they're going to have to make a decision. Are they going to read your email or not? And when they do decide to read your email, it needs to be clear and have a call to action as soon as they open the email. So they have about 2 seconds to make that decision. The second thing is automation makes everyone's life so much easier. This is the way email marketing is going. So automation means when someone signs up for your newsletter or wants to become a customer of yours, there's a series of emails that can get sent so that you keep top of mind or you can sell another product to them. And you don't have to think about it. It's already set up and automated in the email.
So they go into the welcoming funnel, as it were, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So if they already bought from you, you can put them in a one automation series. If they could be a possible prospect, you can put them in a different automation series. It's just a great way to not have to really think about and make sure that it's really so you stay top of mind to customers and prospects without you having to, you know, make sure you're doing it yourself manually.
The one question I'm asked by salespeople more than any other regards to email is about the subject line. What should I put in the subject line? But what do you tell people when they can't think of a subject line?
So we have actually a workshop just on subject lines, and it's one of my favorite classes because you get to be so creative. So, you know, subject line is really important because there's something you need to know. So when you pick up your phone, right, to read your email, you're going to put everybody in the read now pile, read later pile, or read never pile, right? You always want to be in the read now pile because no one ever goes back and reads the email later. So if you want to be in the read now pile, you have to do something to catch people's attention. And it has to relate to what's in the message of your email as well. So you don't want to trick anybody, but you want to make sure that it's clear. And maybe you could be creative and cute or funny. Or so, for example, in March, when basketball is on top of everyone's mind, but I am promoting marketing workshops, I called one of the subject lines March Marketing Madness. So I played off of using three M's. So played off of something that was going on current events, but then also explained what was going on in the email. So you can get really creative with different subject lines. You know, we don't want to say June newsletter because no one's going to read that.
What's one key thing that people can do to grow their list?
Honestly, to me, it's like, you know, it's a little thing. So if you have a staff, you really should be teaching your staff and how to ask for email addresses when they're answering the phones or when they're out networking. And you should be asking people, say, hey, you know what? I have some great updates I would love to send to you. Can I add you to our newsletter? And what are people going to do? Say no? No, they're going to want information from you. So that's a really simple way is educate your staff on how to ask for emails. Another way is if you're at events or networking events, make sure you're collecting business cards. If you're at an expo table, make sure you have a giveaway to collect business cards. It's another opportunity. I mean, there's so many ways on your website. I think a lot of people forget to add in an email subscription to their website where people can just log in right away. If they don't have that, they're actually missing a lot of opportunities to get in email addresses.
When you hear the words content marketing, how do you teach your customers what content is in content marketing?
Sure. So a lot of times what we say is really, you know, look at your own industry and look for news articles that relate back to your industry. That will help you create content. So you don't always have to be the one creating the blog or writing, you know, for the blog, writing your social media. You can be the one sharing information so that you look like a leader and a resource for your customers and your clients. That's a great way because even I struggle with content. I'm not a writer. I don't like writing, but I love sharing information. So that's a great way to start and just read what other people are doing. Read maybe what your, you know, customers are doing. What are they interested in? But the first thing you should also know is that what is it that your target audience wants to know, right? So it's not about you, but it's about them. What is it that makes them want to open your email and read the content? And people have a lot more information to share than they realize. Even little things like if you have an exciting announcement from your staff or you just hired someone on your staff, go ahead and announce that, right? Or if you guys are, you know, doing a charity, go ahead and announce that to your customers. They want to know what's going on. They want to know what's interest, were interesting to you. But I would say, you know, make sure that you really understand who your audience is. And a great way, too, is if there's one question that people are always asking you, there's a customer question, take that question and turn it into a paragraph in your email newsletter and answer the question. Because if you're getting a lot of those questions, there's probably a ton of your customers that also want to know the same information. It depends on, you know, your industry. So I'm speaking to small business owners who are wearing many hats and, you know, running around all day long. They're the salesperson, they're the finance person, they're, you know, doing their QuickBooks, they're sending out their email. So they're kind of doing it all. So they have to really hone in on what's the most important thing to do. So if they just decide to write, they say, I'm going to write one blog post, or at least come up with one topic that I know I can share, then use that same content and post it on your Facebook, post it on your LinkedIn, and use it to drive people back to your website through the email marketing. So you can regurgitate the information and use it over and over for your social media and your email, just so you don't have to keep thinking about the same thing over and over, and, you know, lay out a calendar so you know what you're going to be coming up with for your content. You know, I think we make it harder than it should be. And I think people just really want to know what's going on. And, you know, you want to stay top of mind for them and become a leader in that industry so they come to you when they are ready to buy.
You told our producer that you've never really been in sales, but you're always selling. How so?
I don't know how that works. You know, it's funny. I've never been really in direct sales, but I guess I have my whole life in some way or another. I don't think of myself as a salesperson. Everything that I'm doing, I always fully believe in what I'm doing. So I find that I'm not really selling one thing. So my background is association management, and I used to run a chamber of commerce. And so I was actually always selling membership and sponsorship, but I think I didn't think of it as selling because I really believed in the services that we are providing. So I guess because I've never actually sold a product before. Now I work at Constant Contact. It's selling a software system, so it's a product. But yeah, it's funny. I think I have to fully believe in what I'm doing, and I think that will I represent the brand and the product really well, and I think that's how I'm able to sell.
Here's what our listeners really want to know. How do you keep your email from getting deleted?
Not get deleted. I would say don't send too many. You know, be strategic about it and make sure that you're sending to an audience that really does care about your business, wants to know more information. You should never spam people. It should always be a list of people who want to be subscribed to your newsletters. Be creative and be fun and show your brand that way. I think you'll see success.
What do you think about cold email templates? Do you think people should be using them? Do you think people should have cold email templates?
What you should do is think about when you open your email. You know, do you want to receive that email that you just sent out? I mean, the answer is no, then I would never send that. I mean, I don't really like cold emails. I think you should call people when you're selling to have that connection and that relationship. Email marketing is to further a relationship you've already had with a customer who either bought something or is interested in buying something from you. So cold emails, you know, I'm not into them. I don't know.
Alex, earlier in the interview, you said that you talked to a lot of small businesses. What challenges are you hearing, and how do you think they should meet those challenges?
Good question. You know, a lot of it is small businesses. They're trying to do it all, and they're not good at everything, right? No one can be good at everything. And a lot of times they have they're really going off of no budget for marketing. They're working off of a shoestring budget, and I feel their pain, right? I've been through that same exact issue before. So a lot of times it's just, they don't know how to target their audience. They don't know exactly who their audience is and who they're trying to target. Once they figure that out, they'll be able to manage their marketing better, their content strategy better. They'll be able to understand why they're sending out the email and the results that they're getting. They'll be able to measure it and see if it was successful. So I think a lot of times small businesses are just overwhelmed by all the things that they think that they have to do with social media, marketing, finances, everything, that they're just trying to figure out, okay, what am I supposed to do today? So that's what we do in our workshops. It's, okay, kind of big picture, sales, marketing, target audience, and then narrow it down to what is manageable that they can leave with that day and go back to their office and do, because they're not going to be able to do everything. So what can they actually go back to their office and do? Or I say, hand this off to someone who's younger in your, you know, in your company that really wants to prove themselves. Hand this marketing over to them and make them prove themselves and show what they can do if you don't have the time and skills to do it. So I think that's just really what small businesses are going through is, you know, they just have so much on their plate and they need a resource to be like, it's okay. We get where you're coming from. Let us help you.
I want to go back to targeting your audience. Our guest last week, Joe Applebaum, said the exact same thing. What are some keys for businesses who are trying to figure out just exactly who their target audience is? What do you recommend? How do they figure that out?
So, you know, it depends on, you know, everybody's at a different stage in their business. But if you're just starting out, you usually have some kind of background knowledge or there is a reason why you started your own business. So a lot of times small businesses will use their industry knowledge. So if they came from, let's say, they used to work at a marketing company and now they're their own marketing consultant agency and they want to help small businesses, then they know that what their bread and butter is. They like working with small businesses. They like working, let's say, with a vertical. So maybe they only like working with franchises, right? So maybe they'll pick a franchise company to target. So then they really understand that that franchise business, and then they can go in there and the person already feels like that they know their company because they understand the franchise business. So you can't know everything to everyone. So if you really target someone, then they and you understand their business, then they feel relieved and they feel like they can trust you and they want to spend money with you. So I think the more you target your audience, the easier it is for you to sell your services. Because I know when we're just starting out in business, we kind of say, okay, well, anybody, right, who's willing to pay me, that's kind of what you think. And that's kind of how, you know, it does start out. But as you grow your business and you realize, oh, I don't like working with a certain industry. I don't like working with a certain size company. This size company doesn't ever have a budget, right? My budget needs to be 1 million or more. I mean, you start to really target who they are, and it helps you when you're selling, helps you when you're doing your marketing. It helps you not go crazy at night trying to figure out who am I going to target next, you know, tomorrow morning. I have 10 million people to call. You know, so I think target marketing is like the key.
Tell me that our theme music does not correspond with our guests because we are a production company and our producer is amazing.
We're on it.
Of amazing,
way to go, Doug.
The stuff from Alex Hollywood was exactly what you need to listen to if you send an email to somebody. Thoughtful guests with practical tips and strategies that you can take out into the street and turn into money. But I want to talk a little bit more about something we touched on in that interview, and that is the phrase content marketing. What does that even mean?
You know, I think to all different people, it means all different things, and very few of them have it right. Some people think it means, let me get my content out there with all of my promotional stuff about just how great I am, because that's content.
Yeah, but it lacks adjectives. Good, readable, valuable, germane, you name it.
Well, I would say that's terrible content.
Right.
So, if you're looking for an adjective, Jeffrey.
Okay, so keep going.
So let's talk about readable or good content.
I'm good with that. Doug?
Yeah, have you seen any lately? I guess would be a good question. Have you seen any good examples?
It's just like anything else, Doug. It's so rare that when you see it, you want to forward it to all your friends.
That's true.
Whoever they are, that's correct.
Yeah, I've seen some good content. I publish some on Wednesdays. No. But I have seen some good content out there. And Jeffrey's right. The minute I see good content and good content marketing, I share it and I forward it along because it is rare. I guess the challenge to you out there is, what's your content like?
Yeah. Do we have any people that have sent in requests?
Yeah, absolutely. We do. We pulled some examples of emails that people are sending to reddit.com/r/sales. I'm going to pull these up and read these out loud.
Let's take a look at that, Doug.
Yeah. So the first one was submitted anonymously, and it read, and there's a lot of fill in the blanks here, so bear with that. But it
reads, "Leave your money blank amount in a little bag by your garage."
Right. Here we go. The first one: I am the salesman for company. I believe we have spoken before. I just met two weeks ago with your head of purchasing in your home office. We were talking about our products and the opportunities we can provide your company. I hope to make progress this winter with our product line. I'm sure you are familiar with our flagship product. I will attach our catalog so that you can review it. I have great success with this product in your market. Please give me a call with any questions. What do you guys think about that email?
Delete. How long do you think that email took to read?
I would say about 20, 30 seconds.
And how long do you think it would take to delete it?
No, how long do you think I listened for?
Right.
I mean, I listened because you asked me to, Doug. But honestly, if it were an email I was receiving, I would probably have zoned out in the third second.
Yeah, and so here's the deal. I refer to these people as millennials who are fishing, and they're willing to do anything besides pick up the phone. They didn't give one example of how the product is used. They didn't give one example of how the customer benefits from it. All they did was say, a lot of people like this and we're really good, and I've attached a catalog so I can weigh down your email file. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. There are seven I's in the email. I'm a salesman. I'm a this. I've spoken. I don't care about you, salesman. I care about me. Right. I want to know what you can do for me if I even want to know who you are. So the starting off the first line, I am salesman for whatever company. I don't care. Tell me how you can help me. Ask me a question that's going to intrigue me. And I believe we have spoken before. Well, either we've spoken before or we haven't spoken before.
Right.
And if you don't remember me, I don't remember you.
Jennifer is fired up, ladies and gentlemen.
She is.
No, because I get these emails and they're asinine.
I'm sitting very close to her, Doug. And for the first time, I'm actually afraid.
Do not send me an email like this, salesman.
Exactly.
Do not.
Okay, hopefully this second email will be a little better. This one comes from username CherryXBomb. And the email reads, "My name is blank, and I represent my company. We have been partnering with local businesses in my city for over 25 years. What? Okay, go ahead.
It's horrible.
It's all about them. But keep going.
They're trying
keep
to make going. A value statement that lets a person keep reading, and it's freaking stupid.
Okay, what would you suggest here in this second line? So the second line is, we have been partnering with local businesses in my city for over 25 years to find more efficient, profitable ways to handle documents. What would you suggest in that second sentence?
Bob Jones brought my document mess under control. If you don't use him, you're an idiot. And then the guy goes in to say, hi, I'm Bob Jones. And this is typically what our customers say about us. And if you've got a pile of documents that you don't know what to do with, buzz me. I'm standing by.
Yeah, the other thing you could do, if you're saying you've been partnering with local businesses for over 25 years, amazing. Then you must have tons of contacts. Ask them.
What do you
go need on LinkedIn.
Me for? Right.
See who you're trying to reach out to. You're trying to reach out to Joe. So look up Joe. See who that you, what connections you have in common. Call one of your 25 years worth of business connections in the local area and ask if they'll make the introduction for you.
We've been partnering with businesses for 25 years, but I can't get one frickin' referral. That's why I'm emailing you blind to piss you off.
Shall I keep reading?
I don't
know. Yes, this is fun. Bring it on, Doug.
Okay,
we need to email this guy. We need to call him the dorkiest email
on
the planet.
It might be a girl. It's Cherry X Bomb.
It could be. So here's the rest of the email. We are the only local business that offers total document solutions from print to post. So that's about that. That's what they offer. That's pretty good, right? It's sort of.
No. Wait a minute. Wait. No.
Okay. Look, you're the expert.
Are you going to respond to that?
I don't need printing. I don't need this. Is probably not something I need, but at least that's something.
Document solution. Anyway.
Yeah. You're right. Document solution doesn't really pique my interest. All right. I am writing in hopes of meeting with you to discuss new technology in the industry that will improve the way you produce, manage, and distribute documents. My company is known to save our clients up to 30% of their total operating cost. Please let me know if you will be available on Wednesday, November 4th. At 1:45 p.m., sincerely, the person's name.
I guarantee you that person would send out 500,000 emails and get 3 responses, and 2 of them would be bad, and the other one would stiff him on an appointment. And he'd be complaining about it.
Here's the thing. If they're a local business, they can drive by. They can see the trucks that come in and out of the business and who's delivering them and who's servicing them. They can sit in the lobby. They can figure that stuff out. Go get some intel before you're going to make this cold email. Look them up. If you're not local, look them up online. A lot of information can be found online. Someone just told me the other day that met with me, they were like, oh yeah, I did my research. I know you've been paying X amount for the past 4 years for your phone bill. I'm like, seriously? How much do I pay for food? They somehow found some record online and they were pretty darn close. So all of this stuff can be found online and figure out what they're going to jump at. The thing that stands out to me is that they can save them 30% of their operating costs. So why not lead with that?
You're paying too much money for your documents. And then have a testimonial and then a call to action and done. The email is too long.
But make it personal. Make it about them specifically.
This email sucks. I wish I was in competition with these people. That's what I wish.
Well, okay, but let me ask you about this. So the one thing I found interesting is that they, at the end of the email, says, please let me know if you will be available on Wednesday, November 4th at 1:45 p.m. Whether it's a cold email or maybe just a follow-up email or any email that requires scheduling something, what do you think about this approach where you leave a definite time to meet?
Can I say French or not?
Listen, this is sell or die. This is uncensored.
Yeah. I think it's 100% fucking phony. I think that guy is available at 1:45 p.m. for every single email that he sends. What do you bet?
Okay. So I agree. I bet he's available at 1:45 and at 2 and at 2:30 and at 3. He's probably very free because no one's responding.
Exactly. I'm free because no one's responding to
but
my
I
email.
Can't tell you how very free I am because that would look way too open.
Exactly.
But what I like to do is if it's a second appointment, I never leave the first appointment without that second appointment. So, you know, might follow up with someone and say, oh, can we meet? We just had this.
If the guy was cool, he would say, I only see new customers on Tuesday. Please click here and schedule an appointment for yourself.
Yeah, or I'll be in the area visiting with Joe Schmo.
Oh, visiting
in
with
your
somebody.
Building.
Yep, now you're talking.
And I'd love to invite you to sit down with the two of us to hear how blah, blah, blah works.
Now you're talking.
At 2 p.m. on whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I know what you were thinking, Jeffrey. You were thinking, I was going to say, I'll be in the area on this day. Yeah. No, we know you'll be in the area on whatever day you want us to be.
Anyway.
Did that help you, Doug?
That did. Well, no, I think it's
Hey, Doug, do we have any other shitty examples? What?
This one's a long one, so I want you to buckle in for this one.
Okay.
All right, so my name is blank, and I'm with Video Studio. We create explainer videos to help companies introduce and explain their brand to potential customers. Explainer videos dramatically improve SEO, provide for higher quality and shareability of social media posts, increase conversions, and cement credibility. Our creative team, made up of market researchers, storytellers, cognitive psychologists, and animators, work with you step by step to tell a story that teaches or explains something about your business in 90 seconds or less. Explainer videos are a perfect way to engage your target audience and get them excited about your company. Your video will be incredibly versatile and contagiously shareable. You'll be able to use them on your website, at trade shows, and email marketing, social media, and anywhere you can imagine showcasing your business to increase conversions. I would love the opportunity to talk to you more about Video Studio and how a video we create with you can enhance your business. Here are some samples of our work. You can also visit our website for more examples. Website: when is a good time for us to talk further? I look forward to hearing back from you soon. Best.
Seriously? You create explainer videos and you didn't send me a video to explain what you're trying to say? Sent me 90 seconds worth of text? Seriously? Send a freaking video!
Well, they did. They included a link.
No!
Yeah, big deal.
Put it
okay.
in the thing with an image and I can click on it to learn more.
Right.
Make it exciting.
Click here.
For
if
me.
You like this explanation, we can do exactly the same thing for you. Call me. I'm standing by. That's what that email should say.
Yeah, I think, you know, with this example, I think it's there's a lot of like marketing that you would see on a website, you know, and it's all been vomited here on the email as opposed to,
yes.
You know, you got to get down a ways before you ever get into any kind of link or examples or this person asking you anything. It's a lot of marketing talk. So
I have to commend you on your selection of these emails. We've known each other for a while now, and this is the first time I've almost vomited.
Oh, don't worry. Those are being sent to the incinerator. So
I had to go out immediately. No one even knows this, but I left the microphone and went to get some Death Wish coffee so I could stay awake. Death Wish, by the way, for those of you who don't know what it is the world's strongest coffee. They sponsor our podcast, deathwishcoffee.com. It's amazing coffee. We're starting to give it away for gifts now. If you would like your free Keurig Death Wish bag of coffee, why don't you send us an email to give me the email address again.
sellordie@gittimer.com. Yeah, that's a perfect incentive. Send us your sales question to sellordie@gittimer.com.
And if we select it, you get coffee.
Boom.
And make sure
perfect.
You give us a 5-star review.
Yeah, or else you don't get any coffee.
But hey, let's get back to Death Wish Coffee. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee. We drink it in the studio when we do the show. We drink it in New York all day long. Go get your first bag of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
You can drink it at home and at the office.
Speaking of questions, we can't leave you for the week without answering your questions about sales. And Jeffrey, we have some really good ones today.
I hope they're better than the emails.
All right. We've got a couple of questions about emails to start us off here.
Oh, cool.
JS4 asks, when sending out cold emails, I know short emails are critical, but the question is how short? I've heard that the best length is 3 or 4 lines. How long should a cold email be?
Do you really have to send a cold email?
Yeah,
but if you do,
two lines or three lines is right.
And bullets. Don't make too much text. Give me some white space.
Yeah. But make it compelling. I would rather have a question than a statement. Hold on, Jen is sneezing.
Hey, it happens to the best. This is live radio, folks. This is what happens.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So next question comes from Dan. Dan writes, I work for a business technology company, aka credit card processing, and I am putting together my list of emails to send out. I have a humorous cold email that I'm currently testing out to try and break the sales ice when it comes to what I call the devil's work, aka credit card processing. I'm trying to figure out what day would be best to send these emails. I figure a Friday afternoon would not be best because it will be forgotten over the weekend. Any advice on when to send this email?
Well, we send out sales caffeine on Tuesday. Tuesday and Wednesday, I think, are the prime days to send any kind of mass emailing out. But the question is what's, if you're going to have a humorous email, what is your subject line? I wish the guy would have sent us the humorous email so we could have helped him with that. You know, a brand new way to swipe people's money. That's a humorous line and a subject line.
Yeah, I think also it depends on who you're targeting. If you're going after business owners and entrepreneurs, many of them get up very early and they are actually reading their emails at 4 and 5 a.m. So it might not be necessarily the day of the week that matters, but it's also the time. If you send me an email on a Sunday, I'm going to read it.
And another piece of advice, definitely go back and listen to the episode that we did with the CEO of Freedom Merchants, Ben Prusky. Yep. That'd be a great episode because he's all in the credit card processing merchant, and he gave a lot of great advice.
Yeah, I would bet, and I don't know this for sure, but I would bet Ben Prusky does not send cold emails.
Yeah,
because he has amazing customers who refer him all day long. But that's just my hunch.
All right, next question comes from Oh Hi Spoons. And Oh Hi Spoons.
Where do people get these names, Doug?
It's creativity. You're preaching that.
Oh, that's, hi. They're like, listening. Oh, it's hi. Oh, hi. Oh, hi Spoons. Oh, yeah. Hi. Oh, hi. Oh, hi Spoons.
What does this guy do?
All right, we're gonna use the rest of our time saying Oh Hi Spoons, I think. Now, Oh Hi Spoons writes, I work for a company that owns a bunch of consumer goods brands, mainly power tools and home products. I'm relatively new to sales this company, so I've been assigned smaller accounts, and their pricing is absolute shit. A prospect actually showed me that he gets his stuff for cheaper at Walmart or Amazon. I feel like there's nothing I can do if distributors I'm trying to sell to end up spending more through me compared to Walmart. What's the best way I can earn their business in a situation like this?
Get tested. Call, first of all, why are you calling people if you're new? You should be calling existing customers and find out why they buy. You should be calling existing customers and find out who else they know. The key to this is for you to not make a cold call at this moment in your life because it's going to discourage you and you will quit and you will go someplace else and call the company you just worked for crappy. So my recommendation is call existing customers and engage them in a conversation.
Jeffrey, do you ever buy from someone who's not the lowest price?
Oh, all the time.
Why?
I almost never buy the lowest price because even people, you know, like if I go to the drugstore and they say, do you want a discount card? I go, no, just take all the profit. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Because I don't want to mess around.
I want to be your drugstore.
Do you have any coupons? Like, seriously?
I do.
I don't. Men don't have coupons.
Oh, boy.
But the challenge is this. You need an education. That's the first thing you need to do. And you need to, you know, your company hasn't trained you at all. What are you thinking about? Go to the GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up.
So when I buy from someone who's more expensive, yeah. I have found that I buy from them because of my relationship with them. Because I trust them to get it done, because I think they're going to do it better. Right. There's a printer and promotional products guy I work with in the city, and he's never the lowest price. And I never care because I know he's going to get the job done.
Bingo.
And that's what I care about at that time.
I concur.
Jeffrey, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but Oh Hi Spoons mentioned that they sell power tools, and I'm trying to think of exactly how you worded this, but it's a great like power tools example of you're not selling a power tool, you're selling a
right. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
You don't go to Home Depot to buy a drill. You go to Home Depot because you need a hole.
There you go.
And the drill will get you the hole. And what happens is the guy comes in and says, "Hey, I need a drill." And the guy says, what kind of drill do you need? 5/8, 3/8? Let me show you what's on sale. The guy's an idiot. He should say, what size hole do you need?
Perfect. Yeah, I think that's a great example for this. Okay, next up, R. Wainick writes, my company uses another company to find names and numbers of people to call into. Essentially, we send them a list of companies, and they send back names, numbers, and emails. So I'm calling from essentially a bot list that doesn't always have companies that will be a good fit. What is your process for prospecting from a list like that? Do I just call each company?
I would find another job. It sounds a little
That sounds like shit.
It sounds a little too complicated for me. But yes, you call everybody.
I mean, if that's what they're paying you to do, I guess, but it just sounds horrible.
Yeah.
All right, next up is
that doesn't sound like fun.
No, it doesn't sound like fun at all. All right, next up is the username is Oilfield Sales. And if you know anything about the markets right now, you know this person is probably struggling. They write, it has been months now since I had even a decent prospect to work over, and I can't remember my last order. It's gotten so bad that my confidence has gone away completely, and I'm afraid of prospecting. I just don't know anyone who is buying my stuff right now, with the oil business hurting the way it is. Any advice for when all of the usual stuff won't work and there's a terrible market out there?
I think you need to go to the electric battery marketplace as fast as you possibly can, because as dying as the oil market is, it hasn't even started to die yet. The internal combustion engine's pretty much over. The oil home heating is pretty much over. And it's time for you to look at something as a dying breed. Somebody sells fax machines, just not too many of them. Somebody sells Blackberries, but not too many of them. Somebody sells Yellow Page ads, but not too many of them. And your job is to find greener pastures as fast as you possibly can.
So I think sales is an industry, and you talk about this all the time, Jeffrey. It's just everything is constantly evolving. Things are getting phased out, and I think you bring up a good point. It's important for salespeople to be flexible and to be able to, you know, flex in and out of different markets as the markets dictate.
If you have sales skills, you're employable by anybody.
Yep.
Start looking around.
All right, next one. In Rohit 92 writes, I am a 23-year-old sales engineer for a UPS battery and water purifier company. I have been working on that's an up-and-coming market. I have been working on project sales for 1.5 years and distribution sales for 2 months now. What are the best habits to develop in my personal time, i.e. before and after work hours?
Read about other successful people. Read about the history of each of your products. Not enough people know about UPS. Certainly not enough people know about the dirty water that they're drinking. And try to come up with some fun facts that you can email to everybody every day.
Yeah, and work on your attitude every day.
Every day.
Okay, next up, Pocket Sked. Pocket Sked writes, going to a trade show soon. There are a number of workshops, seminars associated with the show. I don't really care as much about the seminar topics than how I can find potential customers. How can I best use these workshops for networking and prospecting?
By giving a workshop yourself.
I love that.
Once you are the presenter, you are the presumed leader, people will come by your booth and go, wow, that was a really good speech, and now you got to leave. You can't give a speech. You have to give a dynamic speech. You have to give a great speech. That will help you more than anything.
Jen, what do you do before a trade show?
I have a list of people I want to see. I don't go to the show hoping to meet people. I
go
to the show.
She tries on clothing to see how good she looks.
Well, you know, I mean, specifically, right before the trade show, I probably do my hair, my makeup, and, you know, I have my outfit, you know, the girly stuff. But before I even get there, I know who I'm going to be meeting there. And
yeah,
that's key.
And I'm a badge reader also when I go to a show. I want to know there's certain people that I want to meet either from a certain company or a certain segment or a certain job title. and the badge is right there for them to they expose themselves. I also go an hour before the show opens because that's when all the chief executives are at their booth.
See, that's a great tip.
Jeffrey, don't tell everybody.
So I think we've come to the end of 500 million questions. If we haven't admonished you yet, there are plenty of places that you can write to us, but sellordie@gittimer.com is probably the easiest place to go. I want to thank everybody for their great questions. It always leads us to good answers, and we don't always tell you what to do. Often we tell you what not to do. But,
or what we do.
Yeah, and I try to help. It sounds a little bit cynical sometimes, but we're a little more cynical when we're in New York than when we're in Charlotte. So if you have
I thought we were just being real.
Nah. If you, well, yeah. And we're going out for pizza, by the way. If anybody wants to join us, we'll be at the, where are we going to go?
I don't know.
We're going to go to that Brooklyn pizza place.
Yeah.
If you love something, if you have something, if you need something, just ask it. sellordie@gittimer.com. Okay. Now open up your Google Calendar. It's time for the weekly sales agenda. Jen and I want to fit one more thing into your busy schedule, but unlike that meeting that you have tomorrow, this will actually help you go out and make a sale. So, Jen, let me put you on the spot first. What's on your sales mind?
Okay, so let me give you some background. A few weeks ago, our amazing producer, Doug, told me that I mispronounce anything with the word S in it.
Oh.
That my S's suck, literally. And so he said I needed to fix that. And he said in a very kind way, I'm being very real about it, but he said it in a very kind way. And I thought, cool, I can grow from this. I hired a speech.
That bastard Doug doesn't like my S's, and I can have to go fix him and spend money on some lessons.
Son of a bitch.
So I hired a speech and communication coach who came to my office this week, Minna Taylor of EnergizeYourVoice.net, and she is amazing. And I sat for an hour while she helped me with my S's, and they're getting better. They're not there yet. I have 15 minutes of homework a day.
Yeah.
But we're going to meet again, and you know, soon, listeners, you'll hear my S's will be better. My point is, I want you to think about where you need to improve and then find someone who can help you, whether it's with your speech and communication or with your sales presentation or with something personal at home, and schedule time this week to make it happen.
Now, I'm going to add on to Jenny's tip and tell you that when someone tells you something wrong, that something's incorrect, either you made a mistake with an order or you made a mistake as a salesperson, the first thing that each person does, most likely including me, is become defensive. And when you become defensive, you stop listening and you start making excuses for who you are or who you aren't. So when a person tells you you need to do something better or you did something incorrect, the first thing you need to do is thank them for telling you.
Hey, Doug, did I thank you yet?
You have.
Okay, thank cool. You, just Doug. Making sure.
You bastard. But the challenge, this is a very important thing. When someone admonishes you or someone challenges you, you thank them for the opportunity and you do something about it. Rather than become the know-it-all defensive person like everyone walking the streets of New York City at this moment, your job is to take it as an opportunity, a lesson. And this is your opportunity to get better at what you do. Jen took Doug's recommendation to heart immediately and said, wow, I can do something with this. And I promise each one of you, you've got the same challenges, whether it's from your spouse or your kids or your boss or your customer. Somebody is challenging you and you're trying to be defensive about it.
So schedule time this week to not be defensive.
And thank people. Someone gives you criticism. Someone gives you an idea to improve. You thank them on the spot.
Cool. When you say thank you, it automatically puts you in a grateful mood.
Exactly.
And it gives you the opportunity to be open and accepting to it.
Exactly.
I love that.
Okay. So we're...
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the Sell or Die podcast. We are back live next week at our regular time, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Bookmark blogtalkradio.com/sellordie and come join the conversation that's revolutionizing sales podcasts.
And thank you to our guest, the great Alex Hollywood from Constant Contact. Our producer this evening is the great Doug Branson, and our technical director was the great Chris Hill. Until next time.
Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Dittimer saying hooray for Hollywood and challenging you to get out there and sell, even if your ass falls off.